you're able to ask someone who is very close to you, someone who knows you very well, to give maybe three of the top characteristics or qualities or traits that they see in you, would they say that one of them is being grateful? I think most of us maybe would say, well, probably not. Maybe it might make like the top 50, but maybe not the top three. It seems that gratefulness or thankfulness is hard to come by these days, whether it's in the conversations that we hear or even in the conversations that we take part in. It seems that so often our conversations gravitate toward complaining rather than gratefulness and thankfulness when we really stop and just examine our own lives. Well, as you know, Thursday is Thanksgiving. That's right. And it's a day that our nation sets aside. It celebrates this idea of giving thanks. And yet, as believers, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you know this truth, right? That God wants us to be people that are filled with thanksgiving, not just once a year, but really every single day of our lives. He wants our hearts to be overflowing with thankfulness. I'll begin today looking at a very familiar Thanksgiving Day verse. It comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Apostle Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What is God's will for you when it comes to giving thanks? How often does God want you to give thanks? In what? In all circumstances. Let me ask you, are you in a circumstance right now? Sure you are. We're in circumstances every day, aren't we? It could be good, could be bad, but we always find ourselves in a certain situation or circumstance. And God says, in the midst of that, I want you to have a heart that is thankful in the midst of that, to be overflowing with thankfulness. This is my desire. This is my will for your life as a follower of Jesus. Well, how can you and I be people who are truly thankful? I think it often begins with a shift in our thinking. In other words, before we can have this attitude of gratitude, before we can have this behavior where we're truly thankful with our lives, it often begins with a change in our minds. And we see this pattern in the scriptures, this taught in the scriptures. In the book of Proverbs, we read this, that as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, our thinking actually affects our behavior, how we live our lives. Paul would say in Romans 12 that we're to be living sacrifices. How do we do that? We renew our mind. So it begins in the mind. We need to have the right mindset before we can have the right behavior. And so I want us to consider maybe some areas where maybe our thinking is a little off when it comes to being grateful. And so I want to look at ways that we can have what's called stinking thinking, right? We can all be guilty of stinking thinking at times. And so there's two ways that we can have stinking thinking. Number one is this, is by thinking that we deserve some blessing or benefit. It's easy to get caught up in this entitlement mentality that has just swept through our culture. And so it's easy for us as we get sucked into this to find ourselves saying, you know what, I deserve blank. I deserve this. And are you thinking that way maybe today? Maybe there's something that comes to your mind. You know what, I deserve blank. I've got on your notes there a blank. Would you write down what you think you deserve? Maybe it's a better job. Maybe you're thinking, man, with my education, my skills, I deserve a better job. Write that down. I deserve a better job. Maybe it's a better house. Maybe you've been in your home for a long time. You think you deserve a better home. Maybe it's better health. You say, you know what? I don't drink or smoke, and yet I have these health issues. I deserve better health. Maybe it's more happiness. I deserve more happiness or more love. I deserve more love from others. Maybe it's just peace and quiet. You know, it's drama, drama, drama. Every day is drama. I deserve some peace and some quiet. Would you write that down? What is it? What is it you're going to write? Write down something there. I deserve something. Go ahead, write it down if you got a pen. If you don't, just think it in your head. If you got it written down, here's what I want you to do. Cross it out. Okay? Cross it out. Because when it comes to what we truly deserve in the area of blessings and benefits, this is the mindset we need to have. If it's a blessing or a benefit, I don't deserve it. It comes from the gracious hand of God. What does God say that I deserve? What does the Bible say that I, Eric, deserve as one who is a sinner in light of a holy God? What do I deserve? I deserve God's wrath. And so if you want to write above the squiggly where you crossed it out, write down, I deserve God's wrath. And so when we have that kind of mindset, that this day I woke up and God didn't pour out his wrath on me. You know, it's a pretty good day so far, wouldn't you say? God has withheld his wrath and his justice from me as a sinner. That ought to make me be very grateful and thankful for what God has done, the gracious hand of God in my life. When I realize and when you realize that anything good we receive, whether it's health or happiness or a nice home, it actually comes about by the gracious hand of God and not because I deserve it, my thinking can change. So rather than saying, you know, I deserve this or that, or like Burger King told me, I deserve a break today, right? Instead of that, I find myself saying this, God, thank you. Thank you for this. God, thank you for that. Thank you for family. Thank you for home. Thank you for health. Thank you for giving me that. James understood this great truth. Let's look at what James says. James 1, verse 17. James said, every good and perfect gift is from me. No, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Not only has God given us the blessing of spiritual gifts and spiritual blessings, but even in the material sense, those all come from God as well. And what we'll find is if we find ourselves always saying, I deserve this or I deserve that, it will tend to make us more ungrateful people when we have that attitude. So that's stinking thinking number one. Now ready for stinking think? I'll get it out. Stinking thinking number two. Okay. And it's this. It is when we compare ourselves with others. When we compare ourselves with others, when we begin to say, how come Carl has blonde hair and I have brown hair. I mean, I'd always love to have blondish. Is it kind of, it's kind of dirty blonde. Dirty blonde. How come he has that hair and I have my hair? How come that person has that job and I have this job? How come that person gets that home or that house or that spouse or fill in the blank? How come they get that and I get what I got? Or we may think this way. How come this person has less trouble than I do? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe you've thought of people who want nothing to do with God. They even deny his existence. They're immoral. They're just proud as a peacock type people. And they seem to have these carefree, easygoing lives. And yet here we are trying to live for the Lord, live for Christ. And it's like every day there's struggle and trial and grief and sorrow in our lives. Have you ever asked that question? If you have, you're not alone, because we see that people in the Bible ask that question. A man named Asaph asked that question once. He asked, why do the wicked prosper, God? Why is that happening? I'm trying to be a righteous dude here. Why is this going on? Asaph thought about how the wicked prospered. And then he came to his senses. He realized that to think that way was really stinking thinking. When you begin to compare yourself with others, it's not good. And so he had an aha moment. He slapped himself on the forehead and he said, this is not the way to think. He says, I was senseless and ignorant to think such a thing. I actually had envy in my heart toward those who were prospering, not good, stinking thinking, until something happened. Do you know what happened to Asaph? Let's find out what happened to Asaph. Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. By the way, this is just I'd encourage you to read this psalm. Read it for Thanksgiving. How about that? Thanksgiving Day. Read this psalm. But here's what he says. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till what? Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. What was Asaph saying there? Hey, when I was so consumed with what was going on in this earthly sense, I was losing sight of eternal matters. I was losing sight of God. I had to get my mind back on God. And when I drew near to God, in the presence of God, when I was in the presence of Almighty God, then I remembered this. God is just. The sinner will have his day. Every person will stand before a holy God and give account for their lives. And that changed his thinking dramatically. Asaph learned this, that a comparing mind led to complaining lips, which led to an ungrateful heart. Let me say that again. Asaph learned that a comparing mind, comparing yourself with others, led to complaining lips. You begin to complain about things. And that leads to an ungrateful heart. What's the solution? Look to God. Get your eyes back on God. And when Asaph did that, he said, oh, I'm going to speak and tell about the wonderful things that God has done. He shifted his thinking. And so too, may we do the same thing. If we find that our eyes are getting off of the Lord and onto people, that we would focus them again on God and ask him to fill us with thanksgiving for who he is. Not only can we should not compare ourselves with others, but we can actually go one step further. How so? Well, the Bible says this, that we should actually take an interest in the lives of others, whether they may be filled with joy or sorrow. Actually invest in other people. God says, put your issues aside for the moment and consider others. Enter into their joys and their trials. Paul says this in Romans 12:15. He sums up this attitude by saying this, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Do you know someone who is rejoicing today? Maybe someone just got a raise and they're like, yes, rejoice with them. You say, but man, I haven't gotten a raise in 10 years. And man, I'm just, I can't even make ends meet. Rejoice with them. Someone got a clean bill of health and they're rejoicing. You say, but I just found out I have cancer. Rejoice with them is what the Bible says. Still rejoice with them. Do you know someone who's weeping? Maybe they did lose their home or maybe a loved one. What should you do? Weep with those who weep. Enter into their lives. And doing this can help us all to have thankful hearts. Well, those are two forms of thinking that we need to avoid. How should we think? What should we fix our minds upon? Well, as we learned from Asaph, the answer is to put our focus on God, to be God-centered, to have God-centered thinking rather than self-centered thinking. And one way we can have God-centered thinking is to simply praise God and thank God on a daily basis. To thank him, as we read in 1 Thessalonians, thank him in all circumstances. Be thankful. Paul would also say in that passage earlier, rejoice always. Those things go together, praise and thanksgiving. Well, let me ask you, how are you doing that? at actually praising God and thanking God on a daily basis. I want to consider two ways that we can thank God on a daily basis. Maybe not a daily basis, but thank Him. And these two areas, number one is thank Him privately, and secondly is to thank Him publicly or corporately. Let's begin with thanking Him privately. Let me ask you, do you spend time thanking God on your own in your quiet time with the Lord? And what I mean by quiet time is simply a time that you set aside each day to be alone with God, to commune with Him, to talk to Him, to share your heart with Him, and also to listen to Him as you read His Word. He speaks to us through this. And so we take that time to do that. And if you don't take that time, then guess what? Then you're not going to be able to say, yeah, I do spend that time thanking Him. Do you set aside time? I think one of the struggles of being a Christian, living the Christian life, is to have that discipline where we do set aside time to be with God on a daily basis. This is one of the great tactics of Satan, is it not? Because if he can keep us just a little cool, maybe not as intimate with God as we ought to be, then we're not going to be as effective. We're not going to be as grateful as we ought to if he can keep us out of that. A great way to remember how we could even pray to God is by using that word acts, and many of you have learned this, using the letters A-C-T-S as you pray. A stands for adoration, which is to give glory and to give praise to God. C is confession. We confess our sins before God. T is thanksgiving, just giving thanks to God. And S is supplication, or asking, making requests of God. And as you think about that word acts, how many of us spend most of our time thanking God? Probably not. What do most of us spend time doing? It's the yes, isn't it, if we're honest? It's the supplication. We're asking, God, would you please help me in this? God, would you please help that person in that? And that is good. We ought to be doing that. But is there a healthy balance of also the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving as well? Can we thank God in our quiet time with Him? And you may say, well, Pastor, I thank God all the time. You know, as I'm driving or I'm at work, my mind, I'm always thanking God. That's good. I'm glad that in your mind you're thankful. But there's something to be said about actually taking the time and opening our mouths and speaking out loud to God and telling God thank you for what He's done. Do you know that? There's something very awesome about that that God wants to see in our lives. How do I know that? Well, Jesus makes this point in Luke 17. Let's look at that passage. One that we often hear on around the Thanksgiving holiday. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 says this: Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let me ask you, do you think all 10 of those lepers were thankful? Now, it doesn't say in our text, but I'd say absolutely. I'm sure that they were thankful. Who wouldn't be thankful after just being cured of leprosy? This dreaded disease that affected you physically and socially. I'm sure these guys were grateful and thankful. But what happened in this account? Only one did what? Took the time and the energy to actually go back to Jesus and open their mouth and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. How about us? Do we take the time and the energy to actually verbalize to Jesus, Jesus, thank you for what you have done? And the list can be very long, can it? When we begin to think, let's start with salvation and go on to all the other blessings. Do we actually verbalize that to Jesus? See, it's one thing just to have those thoughts in our head. It's another thing to actually say them. I think God wants us to say these things to him. May Jesus not be able to say about us, where are you? Why are you silent? Are you not grateful for all I have done? If so, then tell me. Let me hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from your own mouth. You may say, but doesn't God already know what I'm thinking? Yes, he does. But how much better when he hears it? I believe he loves that. He loves to hear it from us. Well, secondly, not only do we need to thank God individually, but corporately or publicly as well. Unfortunately, we live in a day where I think many people who profess to know Christ, there's less, I'd say, importance or value placed on public or corporate worship and thanksgiving. Just doesn't seem as important in their lives. Many feel that they can just, you know, catch a TV service or maybe stream something online, and that's good enough. But as the quote of the week says, if you read that in the hallway, it says this: in an online church, there is no assembly required, right? I mean, it's you can just do your own thing in the privacy of your home. There's something unique and special when God's people come together and they're in the presence of one another for the sole purpose of glorifying and magnifying God. There's something that God does here that he may not do in the privacy of your own home. Now, can you certainly watch a service on TV and God move and speak to you there? Absolutely. But know this, God also wants us to gather together, to glorify him together. Sadly, many others feel this way about corporate worship in our day. Well, it really doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything for me. Did you ever think that way? It just doesn't do anything for me? Well, I realize that there may be churches that aren't biblical, and so you may go in and it may be more like a self-help seminar than a time to worship Christ. I get that. But if there's any attempt to bring the word of God and to glorify God through song and through prayer and all these things, if there's any attempt for that to be done in a local church service, then we should never say it doesn't do anything for me. Why? Because is church about what it can do for us ultimately? Ultimately, no. What is church about? What is worship about? It's about him, isn't it? It's about God. It's about giving God thanks, God praise, God glory. And yet in our culture, we're so focused on maybe performance and how things go and how things sound and how many times the preacher made me laugh and different things and how many oohs and ahs I can get within a corporate worship service, but yet it's all about really him. And does God encourage us along the way, make us feel good? He should, absolutely. But the purpose, the motive for being here today ought to be to tell God, thank you. I praise you, God. The glory goes to you. Listen to what David says. The final scripture today is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. David says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. What's that last word? Together. David says, let's do this together. Do you know that we're in a battle together as Christians? You know, we come together to be strengthened, to be edified. And there may be some of you who have battle wounds. It's been a difficult week. Maybe there's sorrow and heartache and pain. And yet we're soldiers in the same army. And what we need to realize is that we have an enemy, and it's not any of us here. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, are we? We're fighting against the principalities of darkness, those things that we can't see, the enemy, who doesn't want us to dwell together in unity and to glorify God together. He doesn't want that. And so he will do everything to put a wedge between us. He will do everything he can to think that corporate worship is not important in your life. If you miss it, no big deal. That's what the devil would love to have us think. But God says, no, exalt me together. Well, let me ask you, do you delight in gathering together with fellow brothers and sisters for the sole purpose of exalting God and praising God and thanking God? Do you? Well, this Thursday is again Thanksgiving, and many of us will have filled what, Johnny? Filled bellies.
Turkey,
we're going to fill our bellies, aren't we? Our bellies are going to be filled, and many of you have heard the jokes about wearing what on Thanksgiving Day? Sweatpants, right? You got to wear sweatpants because your belly gets so protruded that you need to have room for all that goes into your belly there. Well, imagine this. Imagine if we as God's people were that filled with thanksgiving. Think of how full your belly's going to be on Thanksgiving Day with the turkey and the pumpkin pie. It's going to be filled. Imagine if our hearts were that filled with thanksgiving. What kind of people would we be? As people looked at our lives and heard the words of thanksgiving from our lips. We've been talking about pictures of the church, right? Light and salt. Well, we'll get to light, but salt and light. This is one way that we can shine in this world by being grateful, thankful people, letting people know about the God who saved me. Let people know about the grace that God has showered into me. Let people know about the blessings I have that I don't deserve. I pray that you say that. When people say, oh, that's great that you have this, I thank God for that. But you're the man, you're the woman. No, I thank God. I thank God that I have the ability. I thank God that he's gifted me. I thank God. Give glory to God. Be a thankful, thankful people. And finally, if you're here today and you can honestly say this, I don't have any real desire to thank God. In fact, even today, I'm here out of a sense of guilt rather than joy. If that's you today, and if you know Christ, then pray this simple prayer that David once prayed. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Pray it daily if you have to, until God begins to stir joy and thanksgiving in your heart. And perhaps the reason you have no joy today is because you have no salvation. Perhaps you've never bowed your knee to Jesus Christ. Because when we've bowed our knee to Jesus Christ, do you know what he does? He transforms our hearts. And so one of the first things we want to do is to thank him and to praise him. Look at the Bible. Read the accounts of those who came to know Christ. What are they doing? They're out jumping for joy and telling people they're thankful people. And if you can say, I'm just not a thankful person, ask yourself, have I come to Christ? Have I been born again? Have I been born of the Spirit? Have I been washed in the blood of Christ? Are my sins covered in his blood? As if they are, we will be thankful, thankful people. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you so much for your grace, Lord. We begin with your grace because we know that we'd be damned for hell were it not for your grace. We would be condemned. Lord, you're a just God, a holy God. You're angered by sin. And Lord, we know that we've all fallen short of your glory. And so God, today we just praise you. We magnify you for your grace. Lord, where would we be without your grace? So we thank you for it. And Father, today we thank you for all those little blessings that you give each and every day that often I know I don't just take the time and open my mouth and tell you thank you for those things. Whether it's family or friends, whether it's this church, whether it's my health, whether it's our home, our car, our food, just to tell you thank you. God, help us to be thankful, grateful people. Change us, Lord. Remove any stinking thinking that we may have and fill it with good thinking, with your thoughts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.